Good morning. Welcome. A warm welcome to all on this chilly day. It's going to take us a while to get used to this weather. In any event, it's here. Fall is here, and we're working our way through it, so it's good to have everybody here this morning. In all of our church activities, we endeavor to exalt our Christ in such a way that others will want to know and love him. So let us prepare to worship, singing with thankfulness in our hearts to our God. This morning, I would ask you to take a moment and fill out the ritual friendship cards. We always say that, but it really is very important. It's such an important way to help Jackie keep track of attendance, what she needs to do for the region, but also any messages or things that people might need to leave for Reverend Chris or Jackie. It's a very good place to do that. So we ask you to take that time, please. Do want to note on our calendar, Reverend Chris's office hours are there as usual. On Wednesday, we're going to have a very busy day here at the church. We have our kids club at 4. The computer classes are going to begin at 6, and we do have space left. So if you know anyone or you yourself want to hone your skills or begin new skills, please come. It's free of charge, and it's a wonderful thing that Ken and the others are offering. And at 6:30, we have our general church board meeting, and everyone is welcome to attend that. You don't have to be officially on the board because we're all part of the board. Also, the minutes for the board meeting are on the back table if you just want to pick up a copy and take a look at it. It's back there for you to read if you so choose. And today our junior youth group will be meeting from 12:30 to 3:30. Cheryl and Janice are very busy with that, and it looks like it's going to be a fun time, so I'm sure everything's arranged there. Have we any other announcements that I may have overlooked? Do want to congratulate the Witts on the birth of Preston Beau Witt. So it's always wonderful to have good news to share. And they have another new little grandson who has joined the family, and he's named for his late grandfather, Beau, and I'm sure that's very important to all of them also. So congratulations to the Witts. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing none, then at this time, we want to take a moment of silence and prepare to worship our God. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. This time the community comes together to serve God in worship. I will note that we're in the brown hymnal this week. We've been in the chalice ones for a while, so you may be like me and not always notice. But it's the brown hymnal. We'll be start singing, We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer, number 334. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Let us bow for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We approach you, Father, as a God who is powerful, proclaiming your praises. We kneel before you, Father, as a God who is holy, asking for pardon. We come before you as God who gives eternal life, celebrating your promises. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. This time the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. God blesses us so that, through us, others may be blessed as well. Let us now share our blessings through our tithes and offerings. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 of 454, Trust and Obey.
realizing that you have blessed us for a reason larger than ourselves, we are pleased to share what we have with others. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community comes together to pray, proclaim the Word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 34, and I will be reading verses 1 to 10 and 22 in the Old Testament portion of your Pew Bible, which is on page 508. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The word of the Lord. Our anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir, Oh That I Had a Thousand Voices.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this All Saints Sunday. I'll speak more about this in my sermon today, but for now it suffices to say that All Saints Sunday is a time to remember those who have gone before. gone on to their reward. So as we pray to God today, we lift up our voices, less than 1,000, but plenty for God. We lift up our joys and concerns. But we also want to lift up in memory today those who have passed away in this past year. I can tell you this past year that I performed 4 funerals, one for Eugene Miller, Janice Fosbrink, Hazel Lucky, and Frank Kelly. And some of them were longtime members who we last saw long ago. Others were brand new members that we did not get to see enough. And others were not members at all, but people who knew God in their own way. Let us remember them this morning, and if there are any other recently departed souls that you want to remember this morning, let us share their names as we now share our joys and concerns. George? Remember Ralph and David Richter. Thank you. One.
My mother named me.
Is this the others? Hands up. Oh, over here. Joyce.
I'd like to thank you for singing the Ralph and David. She passed
away. I'm sure Catherine can hear and enjoy where she is today. Thank you. Penny. What's that? Where's your dad flying to and from? Well, we do pray that Jeremy has a safe flight. I'm sure the pilot knows where to go, so we pray for him this morning. Thank you. Teresa? Dorothy Miller and who? Jane? Are there any others? Are there other joys and concerns, too? Bill? Thank you. Sure. We also want to keep in our prayers, you mentioned Jeremy flying. You know that the Browse are traveling across the world as we speak. We pray for them and also pray for my in-laws as they travel up the East Coast this week and look forward to seeing them. Yes, Linda. Teresa? Pray for Gray. I hope that rash clears up. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Cheryl. Indeed, good to see you and see all visitors with us today and everyone gathered here. Thank you for sharing that this morning. And now let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Yes. Linda?
Prayer for Rachel.
We will pray for Rachel battling cancer. Thank you for sharing that this morning. And now let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt God's name this morning. As we come to you, O Lord, as your children, as we come to you as a small but strong community worshiping you, we sing your praises. For you have given us great blessings, wonderful joys, and you have been with us in the terrible, sad moments of our lives. pulling us together and drawing us closer to your strong, strong will and your loving nature, that we may find the joy even in the darkness, find the light even in the clouds. We join this morning, Lord, with multitudes from every nation to praise you, to worship you, to ask your blessing. Blessing and glory and wisdom and honor and power and might be to you forever and ever. Lord of the saints, with the departed before your throne this day, we lift up our hearts in thanksgiving and praise for your gift of love in our lives and your gift of lives in our lives. We praise you especially for those who have touched our lives through their love, their example, their teachings, their words, their presence. Whether they be mothers or fathers or sons or daughters or friends or acquaintances, people who have come into our lives who have not only made them brighter but also have shown us a bit of the faith, people that we look forward to meeting again when we are with you and we are with them. Lord, we lift up in memory on this All Saints Sunday the memories of those who have passed and gone on before, particularly those in this past year. We remember and celebrate the life and faith of Eugene and Janice, of Hazel and Frank, of Ralph and David, of Mame and Dorothy, Lucetta and Worth, of Shirley and Susan, of Bill's parents and many others, who have gone on to their reward, who rest with you, surround you with their voices, many, many more than 1,000, to sing your praises and to be at peace and joy. We give you thanks that you have given them to us, that we may have known them, some for a long, long time and some for a short time. And however long it was never long enough, for you have given us this wonderful gift, and it is always missed when it is gone, but we do rejoice that we know that death is not the end. For you have also given us your Son, Jesus Christ. And though he was in this world a very short time, and none of us were there when it happened, still his life and his presence remains. Not just when we gather to worship you, not just when we gather at the communion table, not just in the hereafter, but in the here and now. Wherever we are, and we call upon you, we know that your Son, Jesus Christ, is with us, and your Holy Spirit as well. By your Spirit, O Lord, draw us ever closer to you. As we worship in communion with Christ and all who have gone before and with one another, we pray that this will be inspiration for us as we continue on our journey, as we run our race, that our faith will be strengthened by the knowledge that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that they all await us to cheer us when we get to the end. And so we pray for ourselves and we pray for others that they also may be encouraged on their journey. We pray for Gray that he will be made well and that his rash will be healed. We pray for Rachel Ainsley as she battles cancer. We pray for Jeremy and for the Browns and for the Cunninghams and all those who are traveling near and far for their safety, but also for the joy and edification of their trip, that it may inspire them. And Lord, we pray for all those who are hurting or who are in need of your word in their life, who are in need of your light to light their way, that they may know which step to take next. And to know that even when we are uncertain, unsteady, unsure, that still we move forward. Move forward in our faith, move forward in our life, knowing that the past is wonderful and there is so much good in it, but you bring us forward to an even better future. And all that matters is that we move towards that future. May we join with the saints this day, new and old, newly departed, and those who have been with you since the beginning, and proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is your name, Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity." Help us always, Lord, to trust and obey your word, that we may join you and them singing your praises
and knowing your peace. In your name we pray this morning. In your name we pray each morning. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. That's found on page 249 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Page 249. And we read, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, today is All Saints Sunday, which commemorates All Saints Day, which is always November 1st, so that was yesterday. And that commemorates the past. The saints, they all went before us. Many attend to associate All Saints Day, or All Hallows Day, as it's called, with Halloween, All Hallows Eve. As a result, many tend to reject this holy day because of modern association with witches and ghouls and the dark side of things, a preoccupation with death that began to spring up around that holy day itself in the medieval period. And we Protestants have generally tended to be uncomfortable with this day and its association with Roman Catholic tradition, with the doctrine of purgatory and such. But All Souls Day began in the 3rd century to honor martyrs of the Christian faith. That is November 2nd, the next day. By the 7th and 8th centuries, it developed as a way to honor any of the saints of the church who had attained the full status of heaven. And as with a lot of other excesses of the medieval period, this day began to accrue a lot of popular mythology and became overlaid with a great deal of superstition. Yet beyond those issues, traditionally in the church, the 2 days of All Saints Day, November 1st, and All Souls Day, November 2nd, were valued as times to celebrate heritage and those Christians of the past who faithfully transmitted the faith to succeeding generations, which is really what makes a saint a saint. Martin Luther actually chose All Saints Eve to send his 95 theses to the archbishop. His challenge to the church and its leaders to reform was set against the background of the heritage of that church. He wasn't looking to break away. He wasn't looking to start something new. He was looking to go back to how things had been done. And even after the Reformation, both Lutheran and Anglican traditions retained the celebration of All Saints' Day as a time to honor those who had been faithful. Today, many Protestant churches combine the two traditional days into the observance of All Saints' Day on the Sunday closest to those 2 days, and focuses on honoring departed members of the church and our local congregations. So today, we remember the countless saints of history who have blazed a trail of courage through time. We remember the tender touch of loved ones, the example of heroes, the healing words of comforters, the remarkable acts of fearless ones. We remember this gentle strength of grandmothers, the loyalty of friends, the kindness of teachers, the joy of children, the sacrifice of parents. And we remember the supreme love of Jesus Christ, the blessing of his Spirit, the reminder of his words, the sharing of his suffering, the glory of his resurrection, shone forth in the lives of his disciples, young and old, dead and living, articulate and silent, strange and familiar, brilliant and ordinary. We remember in every time and every place the saints of God who have shown us the face of our Lord. We remember on this day those who have gone before. Some were taken too soon. Perhaps a sickness or an accident cut their lives short, and so in remembering them, we also remember the pang of injustice that comes from seeing a good person die before their parents, or before their children have grown. If in other instances a person lived a very long and productive life, but suffered in the end because of illness or because of the deterioration of their body, these people may have had difficult weeks, months, even years before they go to their final rest. And so the joy of their life is also blurred in our memory by the end of their life and the tears that were shed. Now, in either case, there are tears at the end of their life for those who are left behind. And often there are tears at their remembrance. But even if a person were to live a long and fruitful life, and were to go to the Lord without very much pain or discomfort, and to do so surrounded by family and friends in the comfort of their own home, still there are tears. And this is as it should be. For if a person is loved, then it must be sad when we are separated from them by death. And even if we see this as a temporary separation, it's still a sad thing. And in fact, the saddest thing I could possibly think of is for a person to die, and there be no one to cry for them on their passing. And so we honor All Saints Day as a way to commemorate one more time those who have gone on to be with the Lord whom we miss. Now, because we are remembering those who are no longer with us, it can be said that All Saints Day primarily deals with the past. But I say to you that it is really a day that celebrates the future. For our scripture today presents a picture of the great multitude from all nations of every tribe and tongue that will stand before the throne, and the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." Now this multitude are the ones who have gone on before. And when this was written, the book of Revelation by John of Patmos, these are people then who had died relatively recently, because he was writing not that long after the life of Jesus Christ, only within about a century or so of this. And he was writing of those who had died largely because of their faith, because of the persecutions they were facing. But these are also people that John and we believe we will see again, because we know where they are, and we know where to find them, and we know how to get there. And so although these people existed in the past, we remember through the words of the Apostle Paul, who tells us that we are currently, in the present, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And we also remember through the promises of Scripture that they await us to welcome us in the future to where they are now. And so the past, the present, and the future, it is all there in this scripture. It is all here today as we gather. I read this scripture, or at least the final verse of this passage of Revelation, at the end of every single funeral, because the past and the present and the future, they are all there. It says, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No matter what the circumstances there are tears at every single funeral, which is why it is important to finish each funeral with what I feel to be some of the most beautiful and helpful of all scriptures to me. And so I find it a little ironic, actually, that this scripture comes in the middle of a book that many people find frightening and fearful and don't really want to read. Certainly there is some scary imagery in the book of Revelation, the very final book of the Bible, but it should not scare us. It is a book meant to give us hope, comfort, and joy. You see, I don't hold a view that is becoming more popular today, that John's Revelation speaks of things to come in the future, or at least most of it does not speak of things to come in the future. Rather, I hold what's classically been called the preterist view of Revelation, the preterist view of Revelation. This was the popular view until about 100 years ago, when the dispensationalist view, which has been popularized by the Left Behind novels and other things, came along, and its argument is that the book of Revelation is not very much a book of the future, but almost entirely a book of the past. And we waste our time and energy trying to find its images in our modern time. You see, preterism holds that the most end-time prophecies, such as the destruction of Jerusalem, and the Great Tribulation in the book of Revelation, and the advent of the day of the Lord as the judgment coming of Christ, were fulfilled in about 70 AD, 70 years after the birth of Christ, during the persecution of Christians under the Emperor Nero. Some identify Babylon the Great with the pagan Roman Empire, though some identify it with the city of Jerusalem. Most interpretations identify Nero as the beast that the book of Revelation speaks of, whose number is 666, while his mark, that you cannot sell without, is often interpreted as the stamped image of the emperor's head on every coin of the Roman Empire, without which no one could buy or sell. You see, just as the book of Daniel was written about events that took place when Greece ruled Israel in the second century before Christ, but was written about events that took place when the Jewish people were in exile in 600 years before Christ, so too does the book of Revelation speak of events in the future, but which were actually happening at the time of John the Patmos. See, this happens out of necessity. When the Jewish people were conquered by the Greeks, they couldn't write books criticizing the Greeks, because they would be captured, they would be persecuted, they would be punished. So they wrote stories that took place in a previous time, but which had messages for the people at that time, and they knew, understood how to interpret it. The same is true of the book of Revelation from the preterist view, which is to say that John of Patmos, in his vision and his revelation, was speaking of the persecutions that the Christians were experiencing in the early church and speaking of the people who were causing those persecutions. In this view, Revelation is a book mostly about the events of the early church, the first 200 years of this millennium, but is given to us for prosperity to bring comfort in the present. And I want to say to you that when the Bible was being put together 500 years after Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation was the one most debated and was the last one added. And the reason why is because at that time, that was the dominant view. It was the belief that pretty much everything in the book of Revelation had already happened, and so they weren't sure why it should be put in the Bible, but it was, because not everything in it has yet come to pass. We'll get to that in a minute. But it is given to us now to bring us comfort and joy in the present and hope for the future. Not for us to jigger it around until we can force our current events into its images and metaphors, but to remind us that God is always with us and can deliver us from any trouble. For if God could deliver the early church from the persecutions and the trials that they experienced, which are far greater than anything we know, God will stand with us for the petty, small hassles and difficulties that we experience. And will do so until the end, be it the end of our life or the end of the age. And the end of the age is the only part of Revelation that is about the future, that has not yet come to pass. You see, there is no beast coming to get us whose number is 666. The preterist view is that the number was a numerological rendering of the Emperor Nero, who was the one causing all the persecutions of the time. And they couldn't say his name. They had to give a code. He was the beast who tortured and persecuted Christians at the time of John's writing. And there is no need to worry of the four horsemen of the apocalypse coming with plagues and famines, for these represent the plagues, the famines, the persecutions, and the trials that the Christians faced then. There's no need to speculate on who is the Antichrist. In fact, the book of Revelation never speaks of an Antichrist. It is the letters of John, a different John than the one who wrote the book of Revelation, who states that those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And I'm quoting here, any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Even now, there are many antichrists. You see, there will surely be those who do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. There were in every age, and there are in ours, and there will be in the future as well. But an idea that anyone who did not believe in Christ was antichrist, literally against Christ, somewhere along the line got merged with the image of the beast and has kept Hollywood moguls and TV evangelists in the money for a long, long time. In my view, the only parts of the Revelation that deal with the future is the promise of Christ's return, the establishment of a new Jerusalem, and the guarantee that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And that is what is so wonderful about this book. It should not fill us with fear, for we have fears enough of our own. We do not need anything more to be afraid of, but we do need comfort. And we do need joy, and we do need hope from the promise of our loving God, wiping away every tear from our eye, and the eyes of our loved ones, and the eyes of those who have suffered. This is the image that I wish people would remember when they read the final, lasting book of the Bible. For we have many tears. Some are the tears of loss, the saints of the church and the saints in our lives who have been taken from us. At some point, we all experience these tears, and some last longer than others. Others cry the tears of pain. No one goes through life without getting hurt. Our bodies are imperfect and impermanent. They will break down if they had not begun to do so already. The challenge for each of us is not to let the troubles of our bodies trouble our souls. Oftentimes at funerals, death is actually celebrated because life has become so painful for those who have passed on that we know that the new life in Jesus Christ frees our loved ones from their tears of pain and gives with us tears of joy. Then there are the tears of betrayal. Perhaps the hardest thing Christians are asked to do is not martyrdom, but forgiveness. Jesus forgave those upon the cross, and so when we pick up our cross and follow him, we are to do as he did to the best of our ability. It should be a comfort to know that no one can hurt us so bad that God cannot wipe away our tears. And finally, there are the tears of self-conviction. For sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. I always tell people that one of the benefits of forgiveness is that it helps us to move on. And when we forgive others, in many ways, it helps us help ourselves. But what is good for others is also good for ourselves. Sometimes we have to move on from the pain that we have in our lives that we created. If God can forget it and forgive it, so must we. There is a singer named Lucinda Williams who I argue is one of the best singers and songwriters we have today. She has a song, a beautiful song, entitled World Without Tears that I think of every time I read this scripture. She sings, If we lived in a world without tears, how would bruises find the face to lie upon? How would scars find skin to etch themselves into? How would broken find the bones? If we lived in a world without tears, how would heartbeats know when to stop? How would blood know which body to flow outside of? How would bullets find the guns? If we lived in a world without tears, how would misery know which back door to walk through? How would trouble know which mind to live inside of? How would sorrow find a home? And the answer is that it won't. It can't. Let this All Saints Day remind us of the past and how good it was, but may it also leave us with the joy of knowing that the future is better, because in the future awaits a world where no scars can find the skin, where broken can no longer find the bones, where misery won't find the back door to walk through, where sorrow has no home. For in the future awaits a world without tears, because the Lord our God has wiped them all away. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed, and partake as best suits your meditation, let us sing together our communion hymn number 279 in the Brown Hymnal, Savior, Thy Dying Love. Number 279. Here at this table, we are gathered by we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we gather together here to remember the disciples and all that they did, good and bad, and we gather here to be in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ and to feel God's presence and His Holy Spirit surround us. Here at this table, we remember the saints of our church who have gone on before and who have now gone beyond, and who at this table we are temporarily reunited with. And here at this table we also gather to be in communion with the saints of other churches throughout the world and to know that there are saints scattered across the earth and at this table together we meet. But above all, we come here each week to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ as He taught us to love one another as He loved us, and to confess and ask forgiveness for the times in which we have not lived in such a saintly manner, in the times in which we have not loved as we should or forgiven as we should, in the times in which we have not believed as we should, and to know that our Lord forgives us, picks us back up, makes our feet firm, and sends us on our way to try again. Not perfect, but forgiven. Not exactly a saint, but no longer a sinner either. And so we gather at this table this morning, praying that we will be given the inspiration we need to live life as Jesus Christ has taught us and commanded us, and to know that we will need to come back for more help and more forgiveness and more inspiration. And all that matters is that we keep trying and we keep putting one foot in front of the other as best we can, so that when our time comes to go beyond, when we reach those pearly gates, and the saints go marching in, we will be able to count ourselves in that number. Let us share in this meal in God's mercy and forgiveness this morning, and let us leave this place to share it with others. And now this morning, let us pray.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us here today. Help us enjoy every gift that you have given us to the fullest. And help us to understand that even the things that go wrong in our lives, help us understand you better and learn and to appreciate your love even more. In Jesus' name we pray.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after having blessed it, he poured it out. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 594 in the Brown Hymnal, Anywhere with Jesus. Let us stand and sing verses 1 and 3. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.